Shannon and I did a showcase, like an actor's showcase, with our class that we were doing together. And yeah, we did some, it was a series of like little like scenes or whatever. And your dad came and saw it. And, you know, Shannon's dad is like, who's my favorite sports writer of all time.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
when
yeah.
When I met Shannon in our acting class and she told me like who her dad was, I was like, that was the moment that I knew I made the right decision to come to New York. Because I was like, this is so insane. Like the coincidence, this is beyond coincidence. Like this is so crazy. And the fact that Shannon turned out to be one of the most amazing people.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Well, because I remember like,
I thought you were going to say that was the moment you decided to be my friend.
No. I really want to get to know this person, but it was like, it was a huge bonus that I never had to pretend to like her or anything. But so he came to the show and he, I think at that point we had already, he'd given us a tour of Cold Pizza. Like he'd hosted us at Cold Pizza for a day and so he knew like I was a big fan and everything, and so he came to see the show. And afterwards, I saw him out in the lobby, and he's like, "You know, Skid, I know you've always said you're a big fan of mine, but now feelings mutual." And I was like, I was telling my therapist about it like 2 weeks ago. I was like, "That's the nicest thing I've ever had said to me, I think, in my life."
Aww.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I was like. That was so cool. Like it was really, really, really nice. So it was a very nice moment.
Like any time that our heroes acknowledge us,
amazing.
Right? Like you know, because my most minor story is that in elementary school, like most people in elementary school, I was obsessed with dinosaurs.
Sure.
And fourth grade, third grade teacher or something connected me with Richard Stuckey.
With an Allosaurus.
Yeah.
And that was the nicest Allosaurus.
Yeah, the Allosaurus gave me the nicest compliment, and I was riding on air for weeks.
It was like,
yeah, they hooked me up with the guy who was the head paleontologist at the Museum of Nature and Science.
Oh,
here.
Yeah, right. Okay, yeah.
And I was hanging out with Dr. Richard Stuckey, and he was just really nice and totally like, embraced my enthusiasm, and that meant a lot.
I didn't
turn out to be a paleontologist, but it sure told me like, oh wait, yeah, I could kind of do stuff.
Yeah,
people
yeah.
will get into this if I care. So that's
it's cool. Very affirming.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
that's
it's huge. Hello and welcome to A Vague Idea. This is a comedy game show podcast hosted by me, Nate Regolia. Each week, I subject my guests to a list of topics to find out if they have a vague idea. With me as always is Shannon Page. Shannon, how are you?
I'm so excited. My friend Skid is here.
Yeah.
Your friend Skid is here.
I'm here too.
Yeah.
I'm so excited Shannon is here.
You guys haven't seen each other in how many years?
Many years.
Seven? Five?
No.
Some number.
Six. I think 6 years.
More than one hand.
Yeah. I was going to say four.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
The last time I saw you, I think we watched the new Beavis and Butthead in your apartment. That was my last memory of you.
Which isn't new anymore.
No.
Yeah.
And I still haven't watched the whole series. I was like, this is amazing, and I never followed up.
Sometimes that just happens, though, right? Like,
yeah.
We had a were you there for us talking about the Rocko's Modern Life, like, single episode reboot thing that Netflix did?
I saw that.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I watched it.
Okay, what did you think? Did it do anything for you, or were you kind of like, eh?
Well, I mean, I was in college when that came out originally. So it was good.
Sure.
I thought it was good, but I remember it's like, wow, this show was weirder than I remember.
Oh, it was really weird.
Yeah. I always liked it, but it was just like, there's a lot of butt stuff in this.
Oh, there's so much butt stuff in that show. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen a
that's
single
that
episode.
Era of Nickelodeon. Yeah. Like almost all of those shows like big on cheeks.
It was, it's like Ren and Stimpy like started a wave of butt stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was right at the crest of the wave of butt stuff.
The crest of the butt
that's
stuff.
That's like
wave.
The pinnacle of humor for like a 7-year-old though.
Yo, yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Even for a high college
and
student,
for a
37
year old.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Very, very much. In the wheelhouse.
I mean, it plays for everybody.
It's sure.
At some point.
Universal.
So yeah, so our special guest this week is Skid Marr. Marr?
Hello.
Is it? It's Marr, yeah.
Marr, yeah.
Okay, great. I did, you know.
Oh,
I
yeah.
Didn't mispronounce.
I just sent it to you.
Yeah, yeah. It's fine. I mean, you know, no relation to Bill, who is terrible.
No. There might be, but
well,
he is terrible. I agree.
Yeah. But you're a Denver native, and you're a founding member of the Glass Cannon Network.
Yes.
And you're on the Glass Cannon podcast, as well as, what's the other one?
Our other podcast is Androids and Aliens. So Glass Cannon podcast is a fantasy-themed. We play the Pathfinder role-playing system, which is an offshoot of 3.5 edition Dungeons and Dragons. It's a very, very long, convoluted story, but it's an offshoot of Dungeons and Dragons, and it's a live play podcast, and we've been doing it since 2015. And then 2 years ago, we started Androids and Aliens, which is based on the Starfinder sci-fi role-playing system through Paizo also. We're Paizo partners. And we started that. And then we have another exclusive Patreon supporter podcast called Raiders of the Lost Continent.
Ooh.
And we're about to launch another Patreon exclusive podcast starting in December, I think.
Right on. Well, yeah. I'm really
I'm
gonna hope that we get some Skidmar bump for this episode.
I hope so. I hope all you Glass Cannon nationals are out there listening.
Yeah, this kind of nationalism is totally fine.
Yeah, that nationalism is good.
Every other kind, cut
full
it out.
Support of that nationalism. The rest, not so great.
So, I think this is going to be really great because I used to play trivia with Skid when we lived in New York.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
And
Slipper Room, right?
It was the big quiz thing.
At the
Slipper Room.
Yeah.
I think they had a couple different venues, but that it was the big quiz thing. Oh, I remember that.
There's a funny story about that. Do you remember when there was, because there was one, what was it, Noah or something? What was the guy's name?
Noah, yeah.
Yeah. So the guy who ran the big quiz thing, it was just this like quiz franchise. There was one night where it was like Stump the Quizmaster. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
And so it was just like you, the teams, and our team was great.
We had a good
the Fantastic Fornicators. It was all like Marvel guys.
All our
Marvel.
That's such a good name,
Marvel
too.
Friends. Yeah, yeah.
And no one's ever used that at the Snug that I can recall in the last, 10 years that we've been doing it.
Right?
Yeah.
So we had our team.
I used to pitch it a lot and nobody ever went for it.
Good. Next week, we're doing it. With your blessing.
No, that's totally fine.
Okay,
I'll clear it with Mark Beasley. But so it was a Stump the Quizmaster. So it's like, all the teams submit a question for the quizmaster to answer, and then all the teams would guess whether the quizmaster would be able to answer it correctly or not. And there you would get your points from that.
So it's like the dating game kind of thing.
The
newlywed game? I think the newlywed game
I'm
going to write this down, and we're going to bet whether we can write down the same thing or not.
Newlywed game.
Yeah. Anyway.
But we were not very popular at the quiz night because we were very successful for the most part.
Oh, yeah.
And we were kind of dicks about it.
And we were also kind of dicks about it. So
not Skid or I.
No, we were fine, but there were I'm not going to name any names, but there were some dicks on our team.
I don't live in New York anymore. There were some dicks on that
there
team.
There were some definite dicks on our team. So our question was, what is Wolverine's real name?
All right. Yeah.
Do you think you know?
I mean, I know one of the names that he's gone by, yes.
Well, give us your best guess as to what Wolverine's real name is.
I mean, Logan is the name that I know.
See, that's what he said. And that's what we guessed everybody else would guess.
Right.
That they'd say like, oh, everyone knows it's Logan. So we guessed that everybody would think, oh, he'll know this. It's Logan. It's not Logan. His real name, according to the Origins limited series Wolverine run, is James Howlett.
I have read that before. Yeah.
And it's really good.
Hugh Jackman.
Right. So yeah, and it was in the movie, but the movie hadn't come out at that point.
No.
So, but it was based on the comic. So we guessed and we got it right, and he got so mad. Noah got so angry that he was just like, no, wait, no, it's Logan. Look, what? And it's just coming. It's just like, no, it's like it's. And we're laughing our asses off because like we know we just got one over on him and got some free points. So we decided to make it up to him, but to make it up to him in the most dickish, passive aggressive way that we possibly could.
What could go wrong?
So our friend Mark Beasley, who was on the team, it was the publications, the compilations manager for Marvel at the time. I think he still is. And so we was like, let's get a hard copy of Origins that introduced this name, the name of Wolverine. And we'll get the cover artist, Joe Quesada, who was the editor-in-chief at Marvel at the time, to sign it. And we'll give it to him. So Joe Quesada like signed it. He was just like, hey, Noah, you were wrong. Joe Quesada. And so we're like, hey, you know, we just want to make peace, man. Here you go. And he's like, so we get this really cool thing, but it's also like, fuck you. It was like, I've never been prouder in my life. I've never like hit the sweet spot between magnanimity and assholishness. In my
Yeah, it's like getting an aspiring actor a signed photo of Jack Nicholson that says, "You'll never be an actor."
That's right. You'll never make it, Jack Nicholson. Yeah.
And that's why nobody liked us.
That's right. That's right. I shouldn't blame anyone else on the team. It was really mostly
the
me.
The thing is that now that's totally tame humor and would be fine.
Yeah.
Everybody was softer 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, be
that's
nice to me. It's like, no, we're not nice anymore. Twitter exists now.
Our whole discourse is coarsened to the extent that the gift of an autographed hardback trade copy of Origins with a snarky comment by the...
Artist. Originator.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean we're in the mimetic ubiquity of the Billy Ripken fuck you baseball card. So we don't have rules anymore.
Was Billy Ripken the one with the who's flipping the
yeah,
camera?
Yeah, he's got the he just had written fuck you on the bottom of the bat.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. And he's got one baseball card where he's holding the bat. It's fuck you.
Yeah. Billy Ripken, brother of Cal Ripken.
The lesser Ripken.
Which is why he wrote that.
That's right.
Yeah.
Fuck you. I'm not as good as my brother. Fuck you.
Well, hey, Skid, thank you so much for being on the show.
I am so excited. I've been listening. I listened to the first, I think, 8 or 9 episodes of the podcast since Shannon.
Damn, I just sent it to you like 2 days ago.
I know. No, I walk a lot.
Skid listens to podcasts like I do, where it's like, yeah. I listened to 3 episodes of The Dollop today.
Oh, yeah. See,
that's
there you
what
go.
I do.
If you have like long commutes or like you're jogging or something, it's great.
If you guys both lived here, you'd be best friends.
I think so. I think we would, yeah.
I feel like I know Nate. I feel like I know you pretty well. Just because like listening
already.
To you as much as I have.
Oh, well, hey. I mean, I do kind of I wear my heart on my sleeve on this podcast an awful lot too.
All right, well, that's good
I
to
do
know.
I do a lot of things that if we lived in a slightly less free country, I could be murdered.
I know. You'd be the first against the wall,
yeah.
For sure.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
But no, I've been listening to the show, and so I listened to the first 8, and then I listened to your dad because like I really like your dad. Like I was a huge fan of your dad's, like as a kid growing up, and like when we met, I was just like blown away. In New York, I was blown away that like you were his daughter, and then we got to hang out with him some. It was funny too because of one of the earlier episodes you had Josh Madison on from Denver Orbit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who was like my best friend in 4th grade.
Oh no shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Denver is the biggest small town ever.
It really is. Yeah. I was like, oh, this is amazing. So yeah, I'm very pleased to be on.
Well, yeah, thank you. Thank you. This week our theme is going to be evolutions.
Oh my God. Okay.
So all of the topics, there are 10 topics, and they're all going to pertain somehow to evolution,
evolving,
etc.
So much. Denver has evolved. Our friendship has evolved.
Yes.
Time makes evolved things of us all.
Yeah.
That didn't work. We'll leave it in. So Skid.
Don't you dare cut that.
Don't
that
you
is
dare.
That is podcasting gold.
So if you've listened to the first 8 episodes, we have changed the format a little bit.
Okay, all right.
You don't have to bid at all. So you'll just get to say a number. So as our special treasured and just beloved guest,
yeah.
You get to choose whether you want to go first or you want Shannon to go first.
Okay.
So let's think about that first.
I'm going to defer the kick
all
to
right.
Shannon.
Shannon, you're going to you get to kick. Do you want to go into the wind or with it?
I don't understand your sports metaphors.
This is a funny
All
thing.
American football. Well, no, it makes total sense. Like you grow up with a dad who is all about sports, and you steer the other direction.
Yeah, like I am in no way into restaurant equipment, which is what my dad sold. It doesn't interest me at all. Like that doesn't surprise me.
But if somebody brings up Drafthoods in casual conversation, occasionally you're like, nah, I know about that.
Yeah, I mean,
know
I
about
know
that.
About them, but I'm a little ashamed that I do know about them.
So, Shannon, it's up to you, 1 through 10.
All right, I'll go with number. Let's do number 1.
Number 1.
You rarely put my favorite category.
It's
there.
True. Wow. I rarely do, and I didn't this time either. Shannon, do you have a vague idea about the album Evol from 1986? EVOL is how it's spelled.
That was one of Huey Lewis and the News' pinnacle albums, where they collaborated with U2 and Michael Jackson.
Wow.
Do you still take points off for lying?
Nope.
No.
It doesn't happen
it's
anymore?
Fine. Yeah. Okay. She's just not going to get points for making up that answer that is
all
totally
right, cool.
incorrect.
All right.
And all the proceeds went to save bunnies.
Yeah. It was the bubbles.
Yeah. one of the world's most endangered species, rabbits.
Yeah.
You gotta
That's why they have to reproduce so quickly.
Right, right.
Because they're in danger constantly.
They're desperate. Yeah.
All right, Skid, what do you know about the album Evil from 1986?
I don't know anything.
All right. I kind of thought that you guys would.
Because we're old.
I don't know. Well, no, just because, like, this is a Sonic Youth album, is what it is.
Oh.
And
yeah.
I just figured, like, one of you would have known that. But
I thought,
cool.
I would think Shannon would. You're way more better at music than I am.
I should have known that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
was
I figured
a big
Shannon
Sonic
would
Youth
know.
Fan, though.
Yeah.
Well, hey, that's okay. I mean, I'm not super huge on
Kim
them
Gordon.
Either, but I do like them.
Can I get a point for that?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Good answer. Good answer.
Way to go. Oh, shit. You both have S's, so I have to add a second initial.
I'm sorry. You could call me Patrick if it helps.
No. Skid's
in your,
way cooler.
In your record-keeping system.
I do know that Jason Lee,
yes.
The actor.
Yes.
Slash professional skateboarder.
Slash skateboarder.
Professional skateboarder, when he was a skateboarder, made his film TV debut in a Sonic Youth music video.
What was... Oh. Really?
Wow.
I did not know that.
I have facts.
That is a good fact. That's a really good fact.
All right. Well, you're both going to get half a point because I'm feeling generous.
Wow. Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. That's this is how we play the
Where's
game.
Where's the noise? Where's
it's
the ding?
It's feast and famine. Oh, I added it in post.
It's post.
Oh,
yeah.
I know. I wanted to hear it live. I was so excited.
Yeah. I need to buy a little board so I can...
I just ordered one,
but yeah,
for our sound, for our podcast.
Did you just get like a 8x9x3x3 kind
it's
of board?
A 12x12.
Okay, so yeah,
because
yeah.
we do sound drops a lot, and
yeah,
We do the live.
Yeah, we do that, but yeah, I should really invest in that. Just
it's
it would
good,
be great.
It's
to,
good.
It would save me so much time.
There's a good. I can send you a link. There's a good like 8x8 one that like I was looking at.
Perfect. Yeah. I would love that. Yeah. We'll get our
yeah,
people
we'll,
talking.
Yeah,
it'll be great.
Yeah, we'll set a meeting.
So Skid, it's to you 1 through 9.
You know what? I as a huge Prisoner fan, Patrick McGoohan, a story in native Patrick McGoohan, star of The Prisoner.
Yeah.
I will take number 6.
Number 6. All right. Well, it's time for Thunderdome.
Oh, my God.
And I will say, I know what The Prisoner is. There was silence. Have you seen The Prisoner, Shannon?
I was going to comment, but I didn't want to sound stupid.
It's
that the show where the guy's chased by the big
yeah,
ball
the bubble.
Of
that's,
the
yeah.
bubble?
Yeah, yeah. Rover, yeah. Uh-huh.
What does the 6 have to do with it?
That's his number. Everybody,
okay.
Everybody who is sent to the island
gets
a
number.
Number.
Okay.
Would you like me to recite the entire opening of the show?
I would. Yes.
Yes.
I can't remember it all
can
right
I
now.
Make, can I make background ambient sounds like the opening to Lost?
So who are you? The new number 2. Who is number 1? You are number 6. I am not a number. I am a free man. I don't remember the rest of it.
That's
it's
pretty
it's good.
Good
as shit. That was a good show. And I'm sure it's on Hulu or Netflix or something.
I think... I can't,
Amazon?
I think it's on Amazon.
The
there
way...
was one... Sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to... I was kind of change the subject. So go ahead and say
oh,
yours first.
There's one scene in, I think, the second episode. I think it's the first episode. It's like... I love that show. Like, I really love that show. I used to watch it with my dad when I was a kid, and it's so weird. I recommend it to anybody. I talk it up on our show like all the time. But it's fucking amazing. And so the premise is that there was a secret agent who retires.
Mm-hmm.
He resigns, and you don't know why. And he's drugged and kidnapped, and he wakes up on this weird island.
Yeah.
And so he's introduced to the nominal, like, head of the island, number 2. And this, they keep telling him, it's like, you're number 6. And he's just like, I have a name. And it's just, they never say his name. And he says, the line is, it's just like, I am a man. It says, I will not be pushed, filed, stamped, indexed, briefed, debriefed, or numbered. My life is my own. And it's so badass. I love defiance in story more than anything. And it is one of the great defiant moments in television.
Oh, yeah. Plus,
cool.
it's that very like polite British defiance.
Well, that's
yes,
what, that's
yes.
What I was
it is.
Say,
it is verbose.
That...
It's not just like, well, I'm pissed off and I'm gonna shoot you with my M1.
Yeah,
like it's.
But
like,
it's like no, clever.
Your impression reminded me of the Picard. There are 3
oh,
lights.
Oh my god! The best thing ever. There are 3 lights. Yeah. Oh my God.
That's what I thought you were doing for a second there. Yeah. Yeah. How many lights are there?
Yes. How many lights are there, Mr. Data? Best episode of that show.
Oh man, it's so, yeah. So good.
Yeah.
In the Thunderdome.
All right.
In the Thunderdome this week,
okay.
Skid,
there's a question.
The battle is between the origin of the species and the Bible.
Oh.
Which of these two documents wins in a battle to the death?
Well, the Bible has God, who has all the power in the universe. But origin of the species has facts and science, which disprove everything in the Bible. So I'm going to go with origin of the species.
All right. That works. Shannon, what do you think? Do you agree?
I'm going to disagree.
Oh shit. Oh,
it's going to be the Bible. And for the proof, I'm going to point to the Spanish Inquisition. The Bible might not have facts, but it's got power and it's got people that are willing to kill for it. Origin of the Species has a lot of scientists that are like, this might be true. But the Bible's like, I don't care what's true. We're going to kill you anyway if you don't believe us.
Origin of the Species never inspired torture.
Yep.
As systematic torture.
The Bible definitely inspires killing, torture, maiming.
Yeah.
And thus it's a good candidate for the Thunderdome.
You know what? I concede. Give her the points.
And just to be clear, the podcast is fully aware that Christians are currently being persecuted in numbers greater than
that's
ever
very
in
true.
History. So
and I apologize to all of them.
We don't want to
I didn't
make
any judgments. I just mentioned things that have happened.
I just like
the
evolution. The Catholic Church says it's cool, right?
Yeah.
They say the Catholic Church says
the Pope's all about it now.
Pope likes it.
Should we apologize to Nick and Andrea?
Yeah, sorry, Nick,
Patrick
Andrea,
right,
Pat McGrath. Sorry, all you guys.
All of our
we
Catholic
support
friends.
Your faith. We support all your Catholic.
Yeah, I mean, faith is a beautiful thing.
It certainly is.
And prayer is a beautiful thing. And all of these things are great as long as they're followed up with practical applications
exactly.
and a humanist nature. And if you're doing only one of the things, then it's basically like, well, I don't know.
Exactly.
Why bother?
That's exactly. Beautifully said. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Great job. You guys both get 2 points because you're both correct.
All right. Woo!
And Shannon, we're back to you, 1 through 8.
7.
Number 7.
John Elway.
We're going to play...
That's exactly why I chose that.
Everybody's favorite Broncos GM, John
That's
Elway.
Right. Yep.
Those 0-3 Broncos really showing up.
I have some really terrible stories about John Elway. I won't share them now, but I've heard them.
I mean, we'll take a moment to hear it. So Shannon, we're going to play Goofus and Gallant now.
I'm not good at this one. Okay.
No, you are. You're great. For Goofus and Gallant this time, humans are evolving. So what's the bad thing that Goofus is doing in this evolution, and what's the better thing that Gallant's doing?
Oh, God. Okay, so Goofus, it's just evolving?
Yeah, we're evolving. Yeah, I mean, in however you think.
Okay.
Are we developing psychokinetic powers? Are we, growing fourth arms? And third arms prior to the fourth arms?
You know, I automatically went to gills, but I couldn't figure out which one of those would be a goof. Would that be a Goofus or a Gallant thing?
You've been watching Waterworld.
Yeah. That was a real fast evolution, by the way, in Waterworld.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's not how evolution fucking works.
No, I was watching The Boys. Have you seen that?
Yes.
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
he's
yeah.
got the gills on his stomach.
Oh, that is the weirdest scene.
Oh, it's creepy.
Did you ever meet Garth? Did you ever meet Garth Ennis? When we were hanging out?
I don't think so.
He's he worked with Nick, like he worked with our friend.
And big guy.
Garth
Ennis. Big comic
he
guy.
Gills?
He did not have gills, but he is.
You heard it here first, people. Garth Ennis has gills.
He told me two of the grossest stories I've ever heard in my life. And he always paid, he always paid for drinks and is nicest fucking dude in the world. That's it.
All right.
I thought you were going to tell
story.
Us a story.
If you want to hear the stories, I can tell them.
Is it about gills?
No. One. What? I know he won't mind. There was one he would say because Garth. I don't even know if he's like drinking anymore, but like he was like he really enjoyed drinking, and he was telling me when he was younger, when he was a kid, basically in Northern Ireland, he was drinking and like he started like throwing up, and then he got to the point where there's nothing left, and he was just like dry heaving. And then he said he felt something snap like a rubber band in his abdomen.
Oh.
And he started throwing up again. And he said, like, this orange froth came up with like chunks of what looked like organ meat
in it.
It's like, it was like, my kidneys are disintegrating. Like, I don't know what's happening. And he was so freaked out. And the other story, which I think is one of the funniest fucking things I've heard in my life, he was at his grandfather's funeral, I think. It was a relative's funeral. I think it was his grandfather. And he was in Northern Ireland, and he was standing in the kitchen with his father, and his grandmother was out by the pump, like, and back, like trying to get a bucket of water. And the family goat was apparently feeling amorous, and it came up and started humping his grandmother while she was trying to get it. And she's screaming, like trying to fight it off. And the goat went to completion.
Oh.
And I'll give you
greatest of all time.
I'll give you a pause here to edit if you want to.
At her husband's funeral.
But yes, I believe so. It was at a funeral.
Somebody has to have a good time.
And Garth described it as seeing great pearly ropes of goat semen all over his grandmother. And he and his father were laughing so hard that they couldn't even like muster the energy to go out and help her. Which I think it made me laugh so hard. I thought that was the best.
Oh my God. Yeah. Garth Ennis, if you want to follow the podcast, we're at AvegaIdeaPod on Twitter.
Is this a Marvel
guy?
No, that was Image. I can't remember.
How would I know him?
He was writing for Marvel. He was doing Punisher for Max. He's doing Punisher for the Max label, and Nick was working with him.
I was just wondering because Nate obviously knows.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Oh, he did Preacher also. Preacher.
Okay, that's
yeah.
I was having a hard time.
Warms my heart because he really is like one of the nicest guys in the world.
Except he won't help get goat.
Except
come
for helping
his grandmother.
Helping rescue his
that
grandmother.
That doesn't sound very nice.
From an amorous goat, but apart
I mean,
from
look,
that,
Shannon.
Talk about evolution. He's evolved as a man since he was a boy. You know, I'm sure now he would help any one of us being assaulted by a goat.
Imagine that in a proxy scenario, a soft serve ice cream machine just started pouring ice cream on your grandmother, and it was funny. And you were like, "Well, there's nothing really wrong here. She'll be sticky, but I can't do anything about it."
I'd laugh. I don't care whose funeral it is. I'd question why the funeral is being held at a soft serve ice cream parlor.
Right.
But
who catered this funeral?
Yeah, it's like this doesn't seem appropriate at all. But I do have I have a funny story about the artist as well, Derek Robertson, who did the art for the original comic. It was a great guy also, and he was working with Nick. So we all went to taping of The Daily Show together, and I never met Derek. And we're standing in line. They had a spare ticket. And I think you've heard this story, I think. We're standing in line. Oh, before, when he
I have. I've heard
you,
the story.
You've heard the story.
I've heard
okay.
the story.
So they told me that they had an extra ticket for The Daily Show. And he was just like, oh, yeah, come down. And so I came down to Marvel offices and I went to go see our friend Pat McGrath, who is still a designer for Marvel. And I went over to his desk. And he's like, hey, man, I just like designed this new cover. Like, do you want a copy? And I was just like, yeah, sure. And it was the first edition of The Essential Howard the Duck, Volume 1.
Oh, wow.
And he was like, hey, you like Howard the Duck, right? I was like, yeah, cool. And so he gave it to me. And it's this huge thing. And I'm like,
who doesn't love Howard the Duck?
Yeah, it's like, I actually do like Howard the Duck. But I was like, I don't want to carry this. It's like, well, I was like, you know what? I'll give it to Jon Stewart when I get to The Daily Show. So we go down to The Daily Show, and you stand when it was on like 54th Street or something. You're like standing online forever. You've been. Right?
I didn't. Yeah.
So you're standing online for a while. I'm standing with Derek, and he's telling his story because he had just started on the new Wolverine series that they were doing, and he was complaining because the new Marvel president Bill Gemmis had sent down this directive that they wanted to make Wolverine more like Hugh Jackman in the movies. They wanted to present him more like that. So like 6'3" and Australian, presumably. So he was like really...
singer, dancer, triple threat.
Yeah, tap,
me,
tap,
people
tap,
like
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's Wolverine.
Yeah, that's what Wolverine, right?
Nothing says Wolverine like accessible character acting.
Right. That's what made him popular in the first place. So Derek is like really he's complaining, and rightly so, because he's just like, you know, Wolverine, you know, he's 5'3", he's hairy, he's violent, like, you know, this is the kind of guy. It's just like, so they had this argument. So we go in, and they split us up. They put Nick and Derek on one side of the studio and I'm on the other. And so the warm-up comic comes out. He's like, blah, blah, blah. And then Jon Stewart comes out. And he says, this is literally what he says. He's like, does anyone have any issues? And so I raised my hand. And he pointed at me. He's like, yes, sir. And I said, I have something for you if you want it. And he said, yeah, okay. I like free stuff. Okay, cool. And so I came down and I handed him my copy of, you know, the book. And I run up to my chair and he's looking at it. He's like, oh, Essential Howard the Duck Volume 1. It's like, this is so funny because I have Volume 2 at home and I have so many unanswered questions.
that's a very John Stewart
joke. And he starts like flipping through it and he's like, actually, this is really cool. Thank you. Like, this is awesome. It's like, it'd be better if it was a video game, but it's pretty cool. And he's like, can I ask you, like, what is your connection to Howard the Duck? And I said, like, oh, nothing. I got it. And I didn't really want it, so I figured I'd give it to you. And so I remember he froze in his tracks, and he didn't look at me. And he was like, wait, so you're saying you didn't want to carry it around with you? So you gave it to me? And I was like, yeah, my friend gave it to me. I was like, I didn't really. But it's not like that. Like, I thought you'd like it. And he was just like, what about your friend? Your friend gave you this gift. Like, he wants you to have this gift. And so Derek thinks that Nick gave me the gift. So he's cracking up on the other side of the studio and like pointing at Nick. And Jon Stewart looks at them and he's like, wait, are you his friend that gave it to him? And Derek's like, yeah, yeah. And he's like, and he looks at us both on the opposite side of the studio. He's like, what the fuck is going on? And so I was like, no. Our mutual friend gave me the gift. They also work at Marvel, but like they didn't give me the gift. And so Jon Stewart was like, well, what do you do at Marvel? And he's like, well, I'm an artist. It's like, not for all the books. And he says, like, no, you have to be a superhero yourself to draw all the books. It's like, what are you working on now? And he's like, oh, I'm working on a Wolverine. And everybody goes, ooh. And he's like, oh, too bad you're not working on a popular character. He's like, he said, let me ask you this. Do you ever draw a Wolverine like banging Vampirella? Do you ever do something like that? He's like, no, I don't do that. And so, but then he came down, he had a copy of like Wolverine number one on him and he signed it and he gave it to Jon Stewart. Oh, wow. And then like Jon Stewart was like, oh, this is great. And then when we got out, like Derek was like so happy and he was like grabbing me by the shoulders and shaking. He's like, you got Jon Stewart to talk to me. And I was like, so
that was the plan all along.
That was it. Yeah. So I'm like, he's a really cool guy. It's like, so those two guys, like, I'm so happy because I love the boys.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was even better than I hoped. Like, the production was just great. And, like, I'm so happy for that and for them. And so, yeah.
Right on. Yeah, no, it really came out.
And you're, like, bringing it back to the boys.
Yes, bring it back to the boys.
To the gills.
Which yeah. brings it back to Goofy the Gallant, Shannon.
Ah,
what are you going
to
do?
Oh, God, wow. I totally forgot.
That was a real detour.
Yeah.
I am so sorry.
No, that's the beauty of this show.
Oh, yeah.
That's the essence of this show.
I totally Woody Page the
game
the
is
show.
A conceit.
I'm so sorry.
That was the best.
I really would have been.
No, I mean, honestly, most of the time I'm just like, hey, if people just go on tangents, this is fine. Like, right. this is I have an outline that is a framework to concoct some semblance of order, but I don't need it really.
Okay, when Nate good. Came up with this, he was like, we just need an excuse to get drunk and talk.
Yeah. Oh, good. Okay, great.
The impetus great. For this podcast was us sitting at the Irish Snug and just pretending, like, talking about TV shows we liked and pretending that we had a podcast.
Well, we thought we were hilarious.
Yeah. I was so jealous. It sounded so fun. You guys sitting at the... I love the Irish Snug. Sitting there, like, talking about that stuff made me very happy. So.
It was, like, months of us being like, we should start a podcast. We're hilarious. And our third friend, John, who was on in
yeah.
the early
oh,
days
yeah.
and has since... abandoned
he's,
us
he's on
oh,
and off
no.
he's on and off
oh,
and he'd
no.
just be like, yeah, you guys are hilarious.
That's a very
but
good that, John
but that's his character is he is deadpan John. It's yeah. really great. So Shannon, evolution.
All right, Goofus does not evolve.
Okay.
And still thinks that things should be the way that they've always been and longs for the good old days.
All right,
whereas Gallant recognizes the world is changing and accepts it.
Very good.
Oh,
excellent.
I like that.
Well
like that.
Done. Well done. Okay, Skid, what do you say in that scenario?
Well, I think as a big Ray Kurzweil fan, futurist Ray Kurzweil, I will say that the next stage of human evolution will be directed by human intellect.
Okay.
And the next stage of human evolution will involve us augmenting our own bodies and minds in a cyberpunk-type fashion. And Gallant recognizes this, and he is right on the cutting edge of jacking in.
All right.
As William Gibson might put
like
it.
Like Johnny Mnemonic?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. And Goofus is an orangutan.
Yeah, Goofus is just jacking off.
Yeah, he's just jacking off. Yeah,
jacking
he's
in
one's,
jacking,
one's
off.
Jacking in, one's jacking off.
Great.
Succinctly put, again. Hey, Regalia. This is your host, everybody.
This is what hosting is about.
That's
is
amazing.
Just summarizing other people's thoughts.
Distilled.
Not having my own.
Brilliant.
Summarizing other people's thoughts.
You turned a lump of coal into a diamond, and I admire you.
Yeah, my ass is really tired. So great job. 2 points each.
Oh, wow.
Great
still
work
tied.
On Goofus
this is
and
Gallant. Incredible.
Yeah, we're rolling right along. Skid, it's back to you. 1 through 7.
Well, you took 7, right? Oh, no.
Well,
it doesn't.
No.
Oh, it goes
just
down.
Okay. Yeah, so.
You know what? I, as a big Nuggets fan, was one of the first things I revealed to you when we met. You asked me. I can't remember. But I remember I was a Nuggets fan. I'm going to take number 2 for Nuggets great Alex English.
Yes, Alex English. He's just not beloved enough, honestly.
He was the leading scorer for the entire NBA for the decade of the 1980s.
Yeah.
And
I say the only Nuggets story I have, which is probably what you might be remembering, is that Dikembe Mutombo came to the movie theater where my friend worked.
Oh, I do. Yeah.
This is my only Nuggets story. It has nothing to do with the
and
Nuggets.
And he just slapped popcorn out of people's hands as they walked by.
No,
not in the house of Mutombo.
He had a date with him.
Oh,
and they go to the concession stand.
Okay,
and he says, "We want 2 large popcorns, 2 large drinks, some raisinettes, some gummy bears, some nachos, and also whatever my friend would like."
He's 7'2". Man's got to eat. That's really funny. I remember you.
Did
you work at Cherry Creek? Were you working at Cherry Creek?
No, I actually did have a friend that worked at the Cherry Creek movie theater.
You did?
Yeah.
I did too.
Numerous.
My friend Dave Flomberg.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, I don't think you guys ever met, but I wanted you guys to meet.
No, it does sound. We do have, because we've got Steve in common.
Yeah, we know. Oh, Steve said hello too. I forgot to tell you. Like I texted him.
There were a lot of hellos off air, guys.
Yeah,
so.
There were.
Consider this hello like 8 or 10.
Yeah,
something.
There were.
Which I think shows that Skid keeps up with a lot more people.
I'm still living in New York.
But it also shows that Shannon is beloved.
There were
several coasts.
Oh yeah, there were a record number of people who were very eager to say hello to you. So,
oh, that's sweet.
For sure. Yeah. But no, Dave Flomberg. He used to be the entertainment reporter for the Rocky Mountain News.
Oh, maybe that's why it sounds familiar.
I'm actually seeing him tomorrow, but yeah.
All right.
Anyway.
well, here
name
we go
dropping.
With here we go with
name drop. I'm the worst name drop on earth, in case you haven't noticed.
Here we go with number 2 for Alex English.
Okay.
Skid, do you have a vague idea about Blinky, the three-eyed fish?
Matter of fact, I do.
There's nothing I'm going to be able to say after he goes.
That was one of my other favorite memories. We were at your Lower East Side apartment, and we watched a couple of Simpsons episodes on DVD. And I don't know why we were hanging out, but you were just like, "Let's watch some Simpsons."
Well, we were friends.
I don't know why that specifically we were together at that point, and you were like, "Let's watch some Simpsons," and it was so nice. It was like so great to like watch Simpsons. I'm so used to watching it alone in a dark room.
Oh yeah.
So,
it is wonderful to watch it with, especially watch older ones with someone who is on board.
Yeah.
So you're laughing and also like reciting the jokes together.
Yes.
Because it's very like. Season 2 through 9, maybe 10, is pretty much like Rocky Horror for me, where I can just go in and like I can quote you this whole episode.
Oh,
like,
how
oh
many
yeah,
times
once it
have
starts,
we done this on the show.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I always bring up Simpsons references.
Yeah.
From the
oh no,
era,
I
that's
know
it. Yeah.
So Blinky the fish is a mutated three-eyed fish that was mutated by the Springfield power plant in The Simpsons. He was featured most prominently in the episode One Fish, Two Fish, Three Fish.
Shut the fuck up.
Bluefish, I think.
You know that. You know that.
Which is
the name of the episode.
it's the episode, I think I got it wrong, but it's the episode where Mr. Burns runs for governor. Mm-hmm. And
I think that is it, yeah.
Yeah, and Homer is supporting his candidacy. Bart doesn't care. He's supporting his candidacy because he works for him. And Marge and Lisa don't like his candidacy because he's a crook, and so they have a live video cast at their house, and they have dinner. And to catch him out, Marge serves him Blinky the Three-Eyed Fish. And there's actually, on that episode, they have a campaign commercial for Mr. Burns, which features Charles Darwin.
That's right, yes!
And
because Charles Darwin says, like,
sometimes animals evolve.
Yeah. Exactly.
And it's very...
So, yeah, so that's... And then he comes back in several more episodes, but yeah. Do you have anything else to add,
Shannon? Yeah. Shannon?
Two things. Mm-hmm. One is that Mr. Burns tries to eat Blinky.
And he spits it out.
And he does this amazing spit take in slow motion. It's like...
And it's the paparazzi catching this fish hitting the ground.
Yeah. Like by the time it hits the ground, the press is left. Because
it's a very like Citizen Kane sort of thing. Like, oh, that'll kill you right there.
It's
just
the Ukrainian memo of his candidacy.
Well, that's what actually my second point was going to be, that Blinky covered up the Ukrainian call that Mr. Burns had.
Right. That's right. There are a lot of parallels between the HBO show Chernobyl and what we're experiencing right now.
Oh no. Well, that's the other parallel that I draw like really often is the episode where Homer runs for sanitation commissioner.
Oh yeah, yeah.
With you two as a guest.
Yeah, the trash
with the
man.
Wall.
Yeah.
The wall.
Yeah, yeah. The trash man can.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Martin is the special guest.
What button? And,
yeah, what button? Well, that debate that they have.
Yeah.
That's exactly how Trump ran for president.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That is
exactly. Do you want this person with their finger on the button?
What button? It's like, what button? Where am I? Who took my false teeth? It's like, what are you talking about? That's exactly how we ran for president.
It is. It's true.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Great job, Skid. 3 points. Shannon, 2 points.
All right, I'm in the lead.
Skid's in the lead.
Oh my God.
One through six.
You deserve it. You knew the name of the episode.
I didn't really, but.
I think you did.
He first appeared in Homer's Odyssey, but I was unable to find the specific episode of the Candace. But it is
a
Dr. Seuss poem.
It is.
I just can't remember how it is.
Yeah, I can't remember the last part of it. Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
One through six, Shannon.
Five.
Number five. All right, we're going to play Recast. Shannon's favorite game.
Yeah, you know what I'm
favorite actual game.
You know what I'm saying.
Not the one that I say is your favorite that's a lie because you hate it.
I hate it.
Yeah.
I like this one because I always have the same answer.
In Recast this week, we're going to recast Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, mm-hmm. The Secret of the Ooze.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
wow.
I know you're going to throw Keanu and Sandy in there, but you need to cast all four turtles, as well as April O'Neil and... a replacement for Vanilla Ice.
Oh my god.
Oh, man. Why would you want to replace Vanilla Ice?
I was going to say, can I not replace Vanilla Ice and recast him as Vanilla Ice?
Yeah, you can bring Robert Van Winkle back.
Vanilla Ice.
I don't think he goes by
Vanilla
Ice anymore.
That was actually my first concert.
Yeah?
Was MC Hammer and Vanilla Ice.
Wow.
Wow.
That is a 1-2 punch.
Wow. Awesome.
Yep. And En Vogue.
Whoa.
Wow.
En Vogue opened for Vanilla Ice, who opened for MC Hammer.
What a night. Where was that? Was that McNichols?
I think that was McNichols.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Damn. That is, yeah, that's stacked. That's a stacked lineup.
Yeah.
It was good.
Wow.
I think it might be the best concert I've ever been to.
I don't know how you could beat it.
And they debuted the video for LL Cool J's Mama Said Knock You Out at the concert.
Really?
Oh, man.
They like brought down a screen and they were like, this is the first time anyone's ever seen this video.
So that was like, 91 or 90, 1990?
I want to say like, probably like 93.
93? Wow. Okay.
Hey, the pre-YouTube world was weird. Right?
Yeah.
Because they could
That's
lie to people and
it.
Be like, no one has seen this video
I'm
before.
Sure they did
it's
it
like,
in
no,
every
no.
City.
Everybody in New York and LA has already seen this video. Yeah. It's fine.
Every city we've been to, we've shown this video. But no, Denver, you're the first people to see this video.
And there's like two people in the back with Super 8s just like, yes, I can't wait to put this. I can't wait to sell this on the street corner.
I got to say, I think that was a pretty good song.
I think it's a good song.
Yeah.
That is a good song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mama Said Knock You Out? That's what we're talking about, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's a great song.
It's a good song.
Yeah, I don't think that's a very controversial. That's not a
is
hot
it not?
Take.
I don't know.
That's not a
I
hot
have
take.
No idea. I don't know if it's a hot take or not. Anything music, I'm like, kids are going to like.
Oh, yeah. No, this isn't a redesigned Wolverine as Hugh Jackman sort of controversy sort of situation.
Good.
All right. So I've got four Ninja Turtles in April because I'm keeping Vanilla Ice.
You can keep Robert Van Winkle in there.
Can I recast Splinter as Xander as Splinter?
Yeah, you can.
Because my dog looks like Splinter.
Oh, Xander the dog will be Splinter. That's perfect.
My dog looks exactly like Splinter, which is really kind of creepy.
He really does. He needs a little robe, and he's all ready to go. We should get Rocket and Toby in Ninja Turtle costumes, and Xander in a Splinter costume, and we just need to find two more dogs.
You know, we've got a month.
And then we just roll as a dog posse on Halloween.
I'm sure that there is some sort of dog parade somewhere.
It's got to be. I think it would be a lot of fun.
We got a month to figure this out. Let's do it. I'm in. I am in. I will get Xander a red kimono.
Oh, man.
And I will teach him to walk on his hind legs.
Nice. Yes.
It'll be amazing.
Excellent.
All right. April is, of course, Sandy Bullock.
Yep. Okay, great.
As usual.
Yeah. So what do we got? Donatello, Raphael.
Leonardo and Michelangelo.
Yep. Keanu. River.
Okay.
Wait.
Keanu is Donatello?
Yep.
Okay, Keanu's the most... Yeah. Okay, great.
Yeah, because he's the one that's still around.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Sure. Yeah. Let's do it.
Are you casting River Phoenix?
Yeah, River.
He was alive, right, at that time?
It doesn't matter.
Zombie River Phoenix. Yeah.
All right, sure. Zombie River Phoenix. I'm on board.
Zombie River Phoenix. Now I'm just trying to name boys I had crushes on when I was like 12 years old.
John Stamos.
Oh, and the Corys.
Oh, it's a couple of Corys.
All right.
Let's just throw some Corys in there.
And Corey Feldman was the voice of Donatello, I think, in the first Ninja Turtles movie.
Yeah, he doesn't get that this time. Oh. This time he has to be Raphael.
Oh wow. So he's going to play like a darker character. He's used to playing the class clown, but now he's playing dark.
Well, he's had a hard life.
It's true.
He's ready for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Corey Feldman, Corey Haim, Keanu, River.
Okay.
River and Corey together again from Stand By Me.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah.
Ooh.
This is at least the second Stand By Me reference.
I'm gonna throw out Sandy. Will Wheaton's gonna be April.
Whoa.
Wow.
Whoa. Okay.
Whoa.
Okay.
Let's get rid of Vanilla Ice and Jerry.
Jerry O'Connell.
Garcia?
Jerry O'Connell will be. Oh yeah. Okay. We will have a Stand By Me reunion with a extra Keanu and an extra Corey. Which is what that was missing.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's what the story really was.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I hear that they had Richard Dreyfuss do the VO, but they really wanted a young Keanu, to do the VO. Yeah.
Or a Corey Haim.
Yeah.
They were like, we'd like a Keanu or a Corey Haim, but we'll go with a Richard Dreyfuss.
I guess we'll go with a Richard Dreyfuss type. Whatever. We'll take what we can get. Great job. Skid, what are you going to do?
I just had like a long discussion about this because I was a huge fan of the Eastman Laird, like original Black comics. And there was also like a big tabletop role-playing game, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Other Strangeness, published by Palladium Games, that I was hugely into. And I felt like I was so excited when the cartoon was going to come out. I told my parents, I was just like, man, I can't believe they're turning Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles into a cartoon, because the whole thing about it was a very like edgy indie comic when it came out.
It's noir and
it's very noir, very
and
violent,
complex. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And I was like, I can't believe this. And then I watched
pizza?
The first
Turtles
pizza.
Pizza didn't really enter into the equation.
I only know movies.
Yeah.
How are we friends? I don't know.
But then it was 1989.
You know what? Actually, it also they didn't have different colored bandanas.
Yeah, they were all dressed the same.
They were all red.
Weapons.
Everyone, they all had red like accoutrement, and then they had their different weapons. So I, as Raphael, who in the comics was the most violent of all of them, he was basically a murderous psychopath in the comics.
He was Rorschach.
He was Rorschach.
For the most part, yeah.
So Jackie Earle Haley.
That's intense. Rorschach. I like it. I like it though, because he would pull it off.
He would do
the job well.
He would. Okay, so as Donatello, I'll cast James Corden.
Ooh.
And,
wow. I like that.
As Leonardo, I'll cast Chris Evans.
Yeah, that's a good casting. Very good, yeah.
And Michelangelo, I will cast Paul Schaefer.
Okay.
From the old Letterman band.
I was going to say, the Paul Schaefer band?
But like a young Paul Schaefer.
Like SNL era Paul Schaefer?
Yeah, yes. Okay. Yes, SNL era Paul Schaefer with the And as April O'Neil, I will cast Jessica Chastain.
Ooh, yeah, that's good.
And,
that's good.
As Casey Jones, I will cast Thomas Hardy. Wait, who's the guy that was in Mad Max?
That's Tom Hardy, yeah.
Tom Hardy.
Mel Gibson.
Yes. Mel Gibson in
New
some
Mel
scenes.
Gibson.
There's Mel Gibson's in some scenes and Tom Hardy in other scenes.
Great. That yeah, that works. Yeah. That works. So 5 points for Skid, 4 points for Shannon.
Yes!
I really like the James Corden thing. I mean, what it infuses.
I have both the Corys.
It infuses a serious lightness and also like potential for song to happen.
There's all.
There's going to be.
Whatever.
They're
I had a Stand
like,
By Me reunion.
Rolling through the sewer singing. It's going to be great.
Carpool karaoke.
All right. Skid, 1 through 5.
I'm going to go for another Nuggets favorite of mine, Chris Jackson / Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. I'm going to go 3.
Well, it's time to play Shannon's favorite game. We're going to play Palm ou Pomme de Terre.
Oh, I've heard this one.
Yeah.
I know this one.
Each week on Palm ou Pomme de Terre, I present an object that is neither an apple nor a potato.
Okay.
But you have to tell me whether it's an apple or a potato.
It doesn't even make sense in an... it's a visual game.
It's a very esoteric...
Yeah. This week it is a sticker of the Hi, How Are You? Unfinished record by Daniel Johnston, R.I.P. And you have to tell me whether that little alien creature is an apple or a potato.
Apple.
All right. why do you say that?
I don't know.
Potato.
All right.
All right. Good answers. Good answers.
I will accept the... the curt reply.
That was my favorite version of that game ever.
Shannon gets 2 points. Skid gets 1 point.
Oh man, you're catching up.
It's got eyes, so it's more like a potato.
Oh, that's a good point.
You wore that shirt on your birthday.
I did.
And your birthday is a potato.
I was a potato.
Oh.
Right?
Wow.
My birthday was
just...
on Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like I'm remembering like months ago you wore that shirt.
No, this was literally like two days ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right. Great. Okay. Shannon, we're back to you. 1 through 4.
3.
3. Okay, do you have a vague idea about the Evolution Championship Series?
It's not a sports thing, because Skid's...
Because I clearly don't know what it is. So, yeah.
At least it's not a basketball or a football thing. The Evolution... I'm sorry, can you say it again?
Evolution Championship Series.
This is where... I can't even think of anything funny. It's like the World's Fair, but for mutants that are showing off their various powers.
I grew a second dick.
Oh man, I would so tune in.
So it's like a freak show, but a competitive freak show.
I mean, freak show has a bad connotation.
Well, I know. I'm not saying
we're not
I'm
exploiting
throwing,
these people.
I'm not throwing
They're
shade.
In charge of their own destinies. They're joining of their own volition.
Yeah.
They want to show off their freakiness.
More power to them, I say.
Someone grows a freak flag from their skin, they should fly it.
Fly it.
Freak skin tag.
There you go.
I don't know. Ew. Yeah. Okay, great. Skid, do you have any idea about the Evolution?
Is it fishing? Does it have to do with fishing?
It doesn't. It doesn't.
Okay, then I don't know.
I mean, I guess tangentially it might vaguely have something to do with fishing. The Evolution Championship Series, commonly known as EVO, is an annual esports event. So it is sports, but it's video game sports.
Okay.
It's an esports event that focuses exclusively on fighting games.
Why didn't you know that?
I'm stupid. I should have known that. I really
fighting
known
fighting
that.
Games.
Yeah, so they do Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo, Street Fighter Alpha, blah, blah, blah. All that jazz.
There is an arcade in, I want to say like Arvada, one of the suburbs. I can't remember, but it's a.
Is it the one that has the Mario, the old Nintendo controller tables?
Yes.
Is that the one you're thinking of?
Yes. And
it's like the Japanese style thing.
It has all Japanese style video games.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
And I went there for a friend's bachelor party. And while we were there, they were doing a Street Fighter tournament.
Oh, cool.
And like, I swear to God, 30 people showed up with their own personal consoles. I'd never seen anything like that before, and like no judgment. Yeah. Like I actually thought it was kind
of
cool.
That's like Color of Money, like showing up with your own pool cue.
Yeah.
And they were
I brought
there
my
were
own
benches,
table.
Yeah,
and they were just lining the benches with their consoles and like playing in some sort of like international tournament that was on one screen, and the rest of us were playing the other games like fools.
Wow.
And we'd look over at them, and they'd be like, don't look at us.
I've got a 16 hit combo going. Get away from me.
That sounds incredible.
It was pretty good.
I still need to go there. Do you remember what it's? We don't remember what it's called.
I think I have it bookmarked on Yelp.
Yeah, because they have tables that are. So they have like full size coffee table Nintendo controllers that actually work with I think Mario or something that's on like a projected screen. So you're sitting on a couch and
but I don't know that
that's awesome.
I don't know that you're actually allowed to use that because those benches are used by people that are participating in like international competitions at the time and they're like, get away from me.
Oh wow.
Then that's
I brought my own controller.
We have to figure out when they're not internationally competing and then we can go be noobs about it.
I think it's one of those spots where that happens like on a 3 or 4 time a week basis.
Which honestly, I would go check that out just to see it. It was entertaining. I can't get on board with the whole watching like I can't remember what's the site that people log
Twitch.
Into. Twitch. Because I have a Twitch account mainly for D&D Beyond, which requires a Twitch account to log in, or at least it did for years, and then suddenly it stopped.
But, do you watch like Critical Role? Do you watch?
I've watched a couple of those, and like, but I never got into watching people play games.
Yeah,
I mean, I definitely like I've played a lot of Dark Souls games and stuff, so I've watched like walkthrough videos, and I have a few people where I'm like, good, this makes me feel better about the horrible psychic pain that I'm in all the time when I'm playing this. Yeah. But yeah, I never got into like the esports thing, but it would be cool to watch it in person. Because that's actually the thing I miss about like Funplex and stuff was just crowding around the Mortal Kombat machine and watching someone who can do a finishing move.
Oh my god!
On the arcade, I mean, whoa, fuck, that's crazy.
I was at Celebrity Sports Center when I was a kid. If you guys remember, Celebrity
we brought
Sports
that
Center.
Up like the last.
Yeah,
podcast.
We were talking about that last episode.
Okay, all right, cool. So I was at Celebrity Sports Center, and it must have been like 86, around there, and my neighbor Mike Roush was playing Dragon's Lair. And he was on the last.
Game.
He was on the last level of Dragon's Lair,
which that game is notoriously difficult to
impossible,
do anything with.
Impossible. Yeah. Don Bluth like Laserdisc game, and he beat the game. And at the end of it, like there was a crowd of like 30 people around him, cheering and like crying, like when he won it. It was because no one had ever seen it, and it was like back then, like you couldn't go on YouTube, whatever, and like see someone like see what the ending is. That was your only opportunity to see what happened at the end of that game.
I was there the day somebody beat Dragon's Lair.
Yeah, it is still, to this day, one of the most memorable moments of my life.
I spent at least $20 in quarters on that game. And
oh, yeah.
Always would die at the first dodge where you're just like, oh, wait, I didn't do it fast enough.
Okay. Yeah, and the fire rope swings and
that's
hits you, and that's it. Yeah.
Also, that Sega 3D Cowboy, the Time Traveler game. You remember that?
Oh, Space Ace.
Yeah.
Space Ace.
Just
same Don Bluth.
A great era of weirdness where it was just, it was intense, like difficulty so, like, we're going to separate you from your quarters.
I feel bad that I missed this Celebrity Sports Center episode because I could have gone on for 75 minutes just talking about Celebrity Sports Center.
The question was actually, it was for Nate's birthday, and the question was about, do you know, here, we can ask
it
you.
It was about Fantastic Nathan's.
Do you know about Fantastic Nathan's?
Oh, that sounds familiar, but I don't.
Because you were a Park Hill kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is Fantastic Nathan's?
It was like Celebrity, but it was at Cinderella City.
Yeah. Oh, the Cinderella City. Okay. Yeah. I have Cinderella City friends, and they did bring it up, but I had no idea what they were talking about.
At Cinderella City friends.
Fucking Cinderella City. Villa Italia, like all of them.
Oh, yeah. We had so many great concept malls in the late 70s, early 80s. Oh, man. Those were the days.
Best. It was the best.
Great job. But you're both getting 0 points when it comes to the Evolution Championship Series. Oh. And
yeah, it's Skid.
I think it's my turn.
Skid. 1, 2, or 3?
1, 2, or 3. I'm going to go with... I can't think of a good number one. I'm going to take number one.
Number one. Chauncey Billups.
Oh yeah!
Oh god damn!
You tutored him, didn't you?
No, but I'm not gonna say.
Oh well, you went to her school.
It was just Chauncey's birthday too, like a couple days ago. I saw he posted on the social medias about being his birthday. He's a stand up, wonderful guy. I love him. I wish we wouldn't have traded him away with the whole mellow shit. Like,
don't give stuff away. Maybe I actually might
have
some.
She
stuff.
Might have something to say.
Okay.
Have something
yeah,
to say.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's the king of the hill.
Yeah.
There's the tattoo, the King of Park Hill. I don't want to steal your thunder.
No, I have a lot. You do everything you got. I got more.
Okay, I'm sure you do. I really hope this question isn't about Chauncey Billups.
Number one has nothing to do with Chauncey Billups, but you can talk about him after.
Oh, wait, it's not?
No. No, just he wore number one.
That was his
basketball number. I had so much.
You should still bring it up when it's your turn.
Yeah, no, you can totally talk about it.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't really
you just won't get any
theme,
points.
But I want to be very clear. This has nothing to do with Chauncey Billups. The topic here is the Scopes Monkey Trial. Do you have a vague idea about the Scopes Monkey Trial?
I have a pretty good idea about
Great.
The Scopes Monkey
Let's
Trial.
Let's talk about it.
So the Scopes Monkey Trial was a famous trial that took place in Tennessee, I believe.
Yes, Tennessee.
It centered around a science teacher, a high school science teacher, who was trying to teach Darwin's theory of evolution to his science class, and he got arrested.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
For trying to teach it. And this became a national affair. I think it was the 1930s, right?
1925.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. It was a massive national kind of focus. And Clarence Darrow, the famous attorney, came to defend the teacher, and William Jennings Bryan.
That's right.
The former presidential candidate. the silver standard advocate came to prosecute the case.
Right.
And it was a big deal. And Darrow lost the case, and the teacher lost the case, and I think he was fined $1. Is that right?
Yeah, it was something scant. Yeah.
Yeah. And it became the subject of the play and the movie Inherit the Wind.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. Yeah, Shannon, do you have anything to add?
So Chauncey and I went to high school together.
Oh, man. This has evolved into a whole different question.
I don't have anything to add.
Yeah, no, go.
No, you fully, you've covered.
Well, it's also in the movie Inherit the Wind. Yeah. Spencer Tracy played Clarence Darrow, and I think it was Dick York from Bewitched played the science teacher.
Was it really? Oh, man.
I think it was Dick York. It wasn't Dick
Sargent.
It wasn't Dick Sargent. It was Dick York. It was Dick York.
Nobody likes Dick Sargent.
Yeah, nobody cares
for
Dick
Sargent. Get out of here.
And I can't remember who played James Bond, but they changed the names and everything. But yeah.
Was it like Law and Order? We changed the names to protect the innocent?
Dung dung.
No, wait, that's Dragnet.
Oh.
Law and Order is based on
this doesn't have they do their standard
I think Dragnet is though that this is we changed the names to protect the innocent.
I think you're right. Henry Morton from Dragnet.
Yeah. and MASH.
Yes.
He was a damn fine CEO on MASH.
Very good. Yes. Colonel.
So Shannon, talk about.
I don't have anything to add.
Were you going to talk about Chauncey?
About Chauncey. Yeah.
Okay. Chauncey used to have full reign of the school because everybody knew that he was going to be an NBA star.
Even when he was a freshman.
Even when he was
everyone knew
old.
This is the best basketball player.
He was amazing.
Because
he
before him,
good.
It was Chucky Sproling, and that was it. Chucky Sproling went to Manual, and he ended up going to St. John's, and kind of. Didn't really do much there, but he was the king before that, and then Chauncey came along and was wait, this guy is legit.
I would be sitting in math class and we would just hear in the hallway, dribble, 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 dribble. And we'd be like, Mr. Walton, is that Chauncey? And he'd look out the window and he'd be like, that's Chauncey. And we'd be like, why is Chauncey allowed in the hallway during school hours? We're not allowed in the hallway. And he'd be like, guys, it's Chauncey.
It's Chauncey.
And we'd be like, oh, it's not fair, Mr. Walton.
But look at the handles on this guy.
Yeah, look at the handles. Kids, gather around. Look at him dribble.
And he'd be like, kids, this is an important lesson. No matter how smart you are, it does not matter because the people that can do sports well will always get more perks than you will.
Good lesson.
Yeah. Hey, it's important to get the hierarchy of the United States in order at a young age.
It's funny because talking to you, and I feel like some other people that knew Chauncey in high school, it's just you get this picture of this is a guy an arrogant jerk.
I think he was really nice.
Yeah, but I think he really is a very cool dude. And I gotta give him props for going to the University of Colorado, which had no basketball program.
Oh yeah,
to speak
no,
of.
he went.
But didn't he transfer somewhere in Boston?
No.
He got drafted by Boston.
He was drafted.
The Celtics
was he drafted
drafted
by the Celtics?
Him. I think so.
I think you're right.
Okay, I'm gonna be arrested for libel stories here, but I feel like he got, maybe it was in I feel like in Boston he got a tattoo, and then he got traded like 6 months later.
He was drafted by Boston. He played there in 97-98.
Right. Toronto
immediately
and then,
after.
Then Detroit.
Then he was back to the Nuggets. He came to the Nuggets for 99-2000.
And his brother is like the Nuggets coach
right.
now, right?
Yeah.
His brother is,
he really?
Is a coach. He might be like the DU coach.
He's
or something.
Yeah, I think he is the DU coach.
Yeah. His brother
is
the DU coach.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So in the Inherit the Wind film, Spencer Tracy, you have Gene Kelly also.
Oh.
Dick York and Harry Morgan.
Harry Morgan. Oh,
Harry
that's
Morgan
right.
Was
he's
in
the
it.
Judge.
Yeah.
That's right.
So isn't that
wow.
something?
Wow. What a cool crossover.
Colonel Potter.
Yeah.
So yeah, great job. Yeah, yeah. The Scopes Monkey Trial is it's fascinating to me because it is very, it's like, how can the American legal system deal with the conflict between science and religion?
It's so there's a,
and guess what? It can't because the system is kind of
they're incompatible.
Not, yeah, it's not built for that sort of conversation.
There's a lot of it is taken, like I believe, like right from the court transcripts. And there's one exchange that's brilliant where they bring Jennings brings on a guy supposedly a biblical expert who says that according to the Bible, like they've extrapolated all the evidence and said that the world was created on February 3rd, 4703 BC at 6 a.m. And so everyone's just like, oh, wow. Okay. And like Daryl comes up, he's just like, 6 a.m. Is that Eastern time?
Yeah.
Like, is that Central time? Like, just... And he just goes to like pick apart like the entire argument. It is so great. And I love it. There's actually, it reminds me of, again, sidetracked, but I'm a huge Monty Python fan.
Oh, yeah.
One might guess from my background. But there's a great video on YouTube where on the heels of Life of Brian, the Monty Python movie, this BBC show had John Cleese and Michael Palin on to talk about the controversy of the movie with a Anglican bishop and some other guy.
Oh my God.
And it is one of the greatest. I recommend everyone check this. Google this right now. Like, it is one of the greatest things I've ever seen. Watching the impossibly brilliant John Cleese and Michael Palin. Michael Palin gets really agitated, but John Cleese like stays really calm. And he just like sits back and like picks them apart, and it is so funny and so brilliant, and I highly recommend it. It's great.
I love every part of that. Just thinking about it. I'm not watching it right now, but I will.
I almost am tearing up thinking about it.
Oh my God. That was kind of a unique era in things where they'd be like, hey, come on the Dick Cavett Show. We're gonna put two people who have written works about how God doesn't exist with a priest, and we're just going to see what you guys do.
There's an episode of Dick Cavett where he has George Wallace.
Oh yeah,
the segregationist governor / presidential candidate, and the other guest was Jim Brown.
Oh my God!
And like Jim Brown is the first guest, so he's there, and like he moves over his seat, and George Wallace comes over. Yeah, he moves over to like the other seat exactly. And and George Wallace like sits down. He turns to Jim Brown and says, "I heard you was a singer. I thought you was a singer." And the look in Jim Brown's face is just like, it's taking all of his will to restrain himself from killing this man, like
that's
right on
James.
The Dick Cavett Show.
Yeah, I'm the football player.
Yeah, yeah. I
you
can see.
Are,
and like,
you are
like,
breaking off a piece you cannot chew.
And I'm watching it. I'm like, please kill him. Please. Yeah. It would be so great to watch you kill this man, but it was great. Anyway.
Yeah, great job. Skid, you're getting 1 point. Shannon, 0 points. Though.
Yeah.
I really appreciate your Chauncey stories.
I'm going to get arrested, and I didn't get any points.
Oh, man.
You won't get arrested.
I'm going to get sued.
You'll get
and I didn't
sued,
get any
not
points.
Arrested. It's a civil case, not a criminal case.
Shannon, one or two?
Number one.
Number one. It's time for Fuck, Marry, Kill.
Oh, wow.
All right. This week on Fuck, Marry, Kill,
okay.
You're both going to get a shot at this.
Okay.
Shannon, you got to decide between Charizard, Squirtle, and Bulbasaur. Who are you going to fuck? Who are you going to marry? And who are you going to kill?
Well... Will you give me any hints about which one is which?
Charizard is a fire-based salamander.
Okay.
Squirtle is a aquatic turtle, and Bulbasaur is kind of like a frog lizard with a flower bulb on his back.
All right, I'm fucking that flower lizard.
Okay.
Good choice.
Yeah.
Good choice.
Most gentle. Also has tendrils.
I mean,
there's advantages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to marry the Squirtle because I feel like I would like to be like, Squirtle, where have you been?
Yeah.
Like, well, I want to become really naggy and be like, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle.
Well, and just so you know, that's all Squirtle's going to say back.
Okay.
Because that's all Pokemon do is say, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle.
And I'm gonna be like, so Squirtle, where have you been? And he'll say,
Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle. Like, and then you'll, yeah.
Sounds like a healthy marriage.
Why didn't you call me?
Yeah.
Squirtle?
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Okay.
I feel like we don't communicate.
And I'm gonna kill Charizard.
All right. Okay. Yeah, that works. I mean, that's a totally reasonable answer. All right, Skid, what are you gonna do?
I'm sorry. I feel like I have to recuse myself because I did actually have two dates with the woman who did the voice of Ash on Pokemon.
Oh, no way!
That's not any of those things.
Yeah, but it's so, you know, I'm not gonna pull a William Barr and just, like, involve myself in this case. I have to recuse. It's the ethical thing to do.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'll accept that. Shannon, you're going to get 2 points, and Skid gets no points for
that's,
recusal.
That's fine. That's fine.
That's how recusal works.
This is a good time. So Skid does this where he's like, oh, let me just name drop a thing right now.
I do.
Tell us about the Deschanel dinner.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mentioned this like when we were warming up, but I was...
Yeah, and many more times since I've known you.
Pretty much every time like I've got together with someone who hasn't heard this story. But my mom, her best friend, Diane, is the aunt of Zoe and Emily. Yeah, I don't even know her name. Zoe and Emily Deschanel. And so there was one time, I think it was 98, her folks, they were all in town. And they said, oh, let's all have dinner. So they all came over to have dinner at my mom's house. And I was there.
And, no, that's not the whole story.
It's not. But, so
the whole story ends with, and
well,
which one? Emily?
It was Zoe.
Zoe?
Yeah.
Zoe could not stop flirting with me the whole time.
She kept making fun of me.
Okay.
Like, she kept making fun. She was, like, mocking me and, like, doing a voice and, like, saying I was a robot and, like, all this stuff. So, and I was, like, at the time, I was just like, oh, it's, like, this is cute. Like, she's... I was a 15-year-old kid. I was like, that's great. But Emily was super nice. She had just about to graduate from BU. But I was like psyched because their dad is Caleb Deschanel. He's like a very accomplished cinematographer.
Didn't he work on Twin Peaks?
Yeah, and their mother was on Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no
that's
way.
That's what I always
know that.
That's yeah. What I was.
Mary
oh,
Jo.
Shit.
Yeah, she was the wheelchair.
They like kind of grew up on the Twin Peaks set apparently.
Yeah, 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 they totally did. Yeah.
And of course that leads to well-adjusted people.
Donna's mom.
David Lynch is probably the best person to be around.
Oh my god.
He seems so cool
I think
and
he's,
chill.
I totally agree. Like
did
I
you
think,
read his biography?
No,
it was
no.
Really good.
Oh, I want to. I really want to.
Yeah, it was really good.
I think season 3 of Twin Peaks is the greatest piece of media of the 21st century.
Wow,
I think it. Yeah, I loved it so much. I thought it was amazing. But yeah, so he was the cinematographer on The Natural and Right Stuff, which is where he met their mother, Black Beauty, and he was the original cinematographer on Titanic, but he quits because he felt that James Cameron was putting the cast and crew into too much physical danger, like with all the stuff they're doing.
Being an anti-David Lynch.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So, Zoe.
That's awesome.
Had a crush on Skid. You heard it here first.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, certainly did not hear it here first, unless
I didn't.
You don't know.
I've heard it here a lot. But. Yeah.
No, that's stupendous. Because yeah, she's awesome, and like I watch Bones too. So they both have had wonderful careers.
Yeah, I'm very
quality
happy for
actresses.
Both of them.
Yeah,
I think pretty shortly after that, Zoe got I think her first film role or first TV role was on. Oh,
like Zoe Duncan, Jack and Jane, or one of those.
No, it was
was she on that?
No. It was a sitcom. It was a sitcom about models. It wasn't just shoot. Maybe it was just Shoot Me, but it was one of those.
Okay,
it was a sitcom. She was a real bit part on that, and then she was in the movie Mumford, and that was her first like film role. And then like she just kind of took off.
Who else
there.
Is in that?
Is
Joseph Gordon-Levitt in that?
I can't remember it.
No. But I feel like that's when you started telling the story.
It was. That was. Like, oh, now people will appreciate the story. And then she started dating Chris Kattan. from SNL.
Wow. Mango himself.
Yep, which is what I heard. It's he was talking to, he was on Howard Stern.
Herself.
And he was like, oh, I did anyone right now. And he was just like, oh, I'm dating this woman's like Zoe Deschanel. It's just like, you don't know her. So it's like, oh man, I'm so in love with her. And then she left him immediately after that interview.
Oh no.
And then she, I don't know.
Married
don't know.
Ben Gibbard.
Yeah, the musician dude.
Yeah. Yeah. From Death Cab for Cutie.
Oh, right. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, but the funny thing was, and Shannon will appreciate this. So she was on a Carson Daly. She's on an episode of Carson Daly. And Carson Daly was interviewing her. And he was saying, like, well, what kind of guys do you like? What kind of guys do you date? And she was just like, oh, I like smart, funny guys with glasses. So I went into Andy Schmidt's office the next day. And I was,
she
and
he was describing me.
Yeah, it's like, he knew the story, and so I was just like, "Hey, dude, like, I blah blah blah." Like I said, he's just like smart, funny guy with glasses, and he's like, he sits back in his chair. He's like, "Yeah, but apart from the glasses, like, what does that have to do with you?" I was like, "All right,
you got glasses."
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, if Kate McKinnon were here, that's a Ginsburg.
Yeah.
Oh well. Hey, great job.
Thank you. Thank you both.
It was fuck, marry, kill, and I'm the only one that answered.
You Shannon, crushed that one.
Shannon, 2 points, 0 points. Yeah. Skid, we got one more.
Okay.
And it's to you.
Okay.
So this category
you
is
can
called.
Open that last beer if you want to.
Yeah, get in on that beer. Okay. Get it.
This is good. This is White Rascal. What is this?
Yeah, yeah. White Rascal.
Oh, very nice.
It's a Caucasian demon of some kind.
Ooh.
In liquid form.
Ooh.
Frothing it up.
Frothing it up a lot.
The last category tonight is called Name That Space Baby.
Oh boy.
All right.
I can hardly name any.
And the task before you is a simple one. What would you name the starborn fetus from the end of 2001 A Space Odyssey?
This is so funny. Because the last stage show that I did was with Keir DeLay, who played
Dave
Bowman.
Oh no shit. Are you Oh my God.
I'm not even kidding. Like I was tempted to bring it up.
I really wish that was intentional because I would have loved to have been like, oh yes, I've been following you for weeks, and I figured that no.
I was tempted to bring it up just because I love doing it.
Oh yeah, no, that's
but
fucking
no,
great.
That was the last show that I did, and it was funny because the first read through it was a production of Orpheus Descending that we did down in the East Village, and on Christopher Street, and. Austin Pendleton was directing it from, you might know from My Cousin Vinny and it's been a bunch of stuff.
Oh yeah.
See, he did shit.
Yeah. So
I did Buffy. He's doing all this shit.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But this is the point where I was just like, I'm done with acting. Like I'm through with this. Like I don't enjoy it. I don't want to do it anymore. My friend Beth, she came to me and was just like, want to do this production of Orpheus Descending. And I was like, I don't know. And she was just like, Keir DeLay is going to be in. I was like, I'm in.
Like, yeah.
Just for the chance to work with Keir DeLay.
Just to be in the room. Shit.
Totally.
I mean,
100%.
Holy crap.
I am a huge, I mean, you must be too.
Oh, yeah. That movie, I mean, I'm wearing a shirt.
Oh, yeah.
From the fucking movie.
You're wearing a 2001 t-shirt. I didn't even notice it until now. That is amazing. Right. So I was like, of course. And so I go in and we have our first read through in this church. And I haven't seen Keir DeLay in anything in quite a while. He's not like a big like film TV actor. But I knew him immediately. I recognized him because he looked exactly like old Dave Bowman in 2001.
In the French colonial bedroom.
Yes. Like, he looked exactly
aging.
Like that. And I was like, holy shit. He's still like trim and everything. And I was just like, that's fucking Keir DeLay. And so, it was great. Like he was awesome. Like
you're fine.
he was great. And then he was telling me stories about when he was working on Route 66, like the TV show, which was my dad's favorite show. And like he was like telling me the stories about this. But the one story,
is that like a Car 54 or something?
Yeah, no car.
I don't know. Route 66.
Route 66 was this really cool buddy show from the 60s. About these two cool dudes who would ride in like a convertible, like a Chevy convertible down Route 66 and solve crimes and shit. So it's awesome. But
What's happened to that type of plot where it's just like we the conceit is we're just traveling in a direction and stuff happens and we stop and solve it.
Yeah.
Let's say Natural Born Killers was they were traveling around.
But they're
Route
66, causing
crimes. But they were causing
crimes. Right.
I would like to see the follow up to that.
My best guess is that the cost of filming is so expensive that you can't change locations that often very easily for a television show.
That's
true. Because you're gonna get like what, 1 million viewers on a show now at best? Like you're not getting numbers like the 60s where it's like, well, there's only one show on.
Yeah.
So you're either listening to the radio
a third
or you're watching Route 66.
The country is watching the show.
Yeah, the numbers.
There's three networks.
The numbers that they used to get like back when there wasn't cable are just astounding, like by today's standards. But that is still one of my favorite genres. This is like buddy.
Oh, it's great.
Oh, it's the best. But he did tell one story that I remember. So, I didn't want to like gush on him and like say like, what was it like working with Stanley Kubrick and everything? But I did. I said, what was it like working with Stanley Kubrick? And, so he's telling a story about shooting the scene where he's like disconnecting Hal, like in the, you know, and you guys had a category in one of your early shows about 2001, didn't you?
Probably.
I think you brought
it up. I don't remember
up,
anything anymore.
But it was killing me because like, oh, I want to be on this one. But he was telling a story about, you know, working the scene. And so they had to do, someone had to do the song that Douglas Rain would be singing while this was going on to get the timing right. And so it was the assistant director. Like, I don't know what his name was. And he was saying like, yeah, this guy, this assistant director working under Stanley Kubrick, had this really thick, crazy Cockney accent. So he says, I'm doing this stuff, like this interview says, Daisy, Daisy, give me your answer, do. I'm half crazy over the love of you. And like, it was like,
is Michael Caine here?
Yeah, I know. It's like, it sounded like on the, working on the set of like Mary Poppins or something. but he was super cool. And that was a dream come true for me because really is. And you know, like how great that movie is.
Yeah.
So
that would be amazing to be,
but
like,
just like,
oh, hey, you're a human being and I'm near you.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
It's Dave Bowman. I'm losing my mind. I am losing. It's Dave fucking Bowman. I'm losing my mind. And he's so good. And like, he's a really good actor. Like, and I got to spend time with his wife and like, she's really great. And it was a great time. Even though, I shouldn't say that because I hate acting.
Yeah,
but like, hanging out with him, like working with him, was great. Yeah. I had two scenes with him, and it was awesome. It was great.
That's wonderful. Yeah. What are you going to name that space baby?
This is the Star Child.
Yeah, the Star Child. What are you going to name it?
Keith.
Keith. All right. That's a good strong name. Shannon, what are you going to name that space baby?
Skid Regolia.
Oh wow, I like that a lot.
So so we've got glasses, we've got smart, and we've got funny put together. So what you're doing is you're creating a perfect Deschanel composite boyfriend.
Wow, somebody alert Zoe Deschanel.
The pinnacle of evolution is
this is a perfect man that's coming to being in Earth's orbit.
Oh man,
this kid is good at trivia too. Let me tell you.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Oh my god,
he's gonna be a great fantastic fornicator.
you both did great. 5 points each.
Oh,
wonderful.
That's awesome.
I'm glad I could match your story with my two word answer.
Yeah, that's great.
I mean,
you didn't exhaust yourself like I did.
You had to meet being a play with a famous actor. I just had to kiss up to both of you.
I did.
Sometimes all we need is, all of it is just about like putting the pin in the thing that is necessary at the time, right? Like the writer's room is all about like, who has the thought that sums this? Great. We got it. We got it in one. Great job. You guys have tied.
Whoa.
Yay!
So,
wow.
19.5 points each.
Wow. All right.
Remarkable.
Just like you and your dad.
Yeah.
You guys tied as well.
It's true.
Wow.
I couldn't let Woody win I couldn't do a thing. I don't want to rend a family apart.
Well, you know, I was thinking like when you did that, I was thinking like he finally got his half win.
Because
he started off at the beginning. It was like he's always been a half win down because around the horn.
Because
like, finally got it.
Oh my God. And then yeah. And I think he just got his around the horn half win this week, right?
Oh, he did?
He sent me a bunch of tweets about him getting 600.
Yeah.
Oh,
God. And I was like, why are you sending these to me? I was like, oh, you're proud. I'm sorry. Okay. Congratulations.
Oh, man. That's great. That's awesome.
So, Skid, do you have anything you'd like to plug?
www.glasscannonpodcast.com. Check out our shows.
I'm going to start listening to it.
When does this air? When does this
Two to three weeks.
Oh, all right. Well, we still have some tickets available for our LA show, but that'll be over by this time.
What's the next show after LA?
The next show in October is Boston. That sold out. And then the month after that, Philadelphia. That sold out also.
Sorry, Philly.
So. Yeah, Philly, you fucked up. You didn't get tickets.
Yeah, but
if you're in Boston or Philly and you're sad that they're sold out, maybe
you should spend the evening listening to A Vague Idea.
This is a very good substitute.
Find 200 people and see if you can get them to do a second show.
Yeah, that's great. We will definitely do an encore. And also, we are hoping, I told you guys, like, we're hoping to book a Denver venue for the second half of next year. So if you have any Denver area listeners that would like to come see us live, please be on the lookout for that.
And if you pin that down, please tell Shannon so that we can get tickets ASAP.
I would love.
I mean, you don't even have to comp us tickets. I'm just saying, like, I want to be one of the first people to click on the thing so that I don't have to be like, oh, I'm sitting in the jerk seat.
Oh no, I would really love to have you guys there. Like, that would make me very happy. So,
it would be so much. Let you know, the Bluebird is such a wonderful venue.
As long as we're not in jerk seats.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. There really aren't any jerk seats.
I don't know if we'll
either,
be in the Bluebird or not. We're trying for the Bluebird. Oh, yeah. But we'll see.
Whatever venue we end up getting.
I love that you guys are traveling. So L.A., Boston, Philly.
Yeah. We just did Atlanta. We were in Indianapolis, Chicago.
This is awesome. So everybody should go right now to everywhere podcasts are sold?
Yeah, it's on iTunes.
All your podcatchers, get them while they're hot.
Yep.
So all of our listeners, our 10 listeners.
We started out with 10.
We'll tell them to go to your podcast.
Yeah, thank you.
We're nearly 2,500 downloads, and we're still in year one, which is solid because it's all been organic.
Yeah.
And I assume that you'll connect this to your agent off mic.
Of course. It'd be my pleasure and duty.
Yeah. Shannon and I would love to sit on a stage somewhere and talk to four people about what we're doing. Who wants to come up and play the game? No, not all of you. Yeah. Oh, wait. This format isn't working.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, wait. Okay, all of you. Wait. Come to the studio. Join us.
Oh, man. Yeah. Thank you so much for being on. This has been a real pleasure. This has been so exceptional.
Great. I'm so excited. I'm so happy.
Shannon, do you want to plug anything?
Yeah, I would like to plug Steno, who has provided us with our recording space and our microphones and our headphones and a bunch of cords. Thank you, Steno.
And as I said last week, the cords are flavored, so feel free to eat yours after the show. Shannon, you got grape this time. I thought about it.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you.
Because you got stuck with banana. I'm sorry.
I got banana last time.
Or lemon, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Lemon I'll do.
There's got to be a yellow fruit that's good.
There are no good yellow fruits, as far as I know.
Unripe mango?
Unripe. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll take a mango and wait. No, I'll do that.
Mango and wait.
Yeah, mango and wait.
Take that cord with you and eat it in a couple weeks.
I will.
Well, listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate it so much. And if you like the show, do us a favor and just tell a couple of people. Tell five people.
Rate and review on iTunes.
Yeah, rate and review on iTunes, too. That really helps. But yeah, just spread the word. We don't advertise. We don't really have the means to do such a thing.
We told people that if they reviewed us with the word poop, we'd let them be on the show.
Yeah. And so far, only Mark Hughes has reviewed with poop.
We've had one.
And he's been on the show. He'll be on the show next week.
All right. Awesome. There you go.
But yeah, if you like the show, rate and review us on iTunes. Tell people about it. Spread the word. We love that. And if you want to follow us on social media, we've got Instagram at A Vague Idea Podcast, Twitter at A Vague Idea Pod. You'll be, I think, in the early double digits of our Twitter account if you follow now. So think about that. Think about that sweet, sweet Jack Dorsey prize money you get for being an early follower.
Yeah, think about being an early adopter. Like, if you jumped on when Amazon first launched their IPO, think about how rich you'd be right now. Think about how rich you'll be with the show.
Yeah, if you just follow A Vague Idea now, in 5 years, wow.
It'll pay off.
Drones will be delivering podcasts to your face.
Yeah.
I don't have anything else to plug. This has been a blast. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys.
And for all the stories. And yeah, hopefully, you know, you'll just start sending all these Marvel people our way to be on the show when they're flying over.
Whenever they're in Denver Comic Con,
Would love to just drip disgusting fanboy on them and also have this fun time. So that'll be great. But yeah, otherwise, hey guys, live your lives, but try not to make the world worse. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
A Vague Idea is written and produced by me, Nate Regolia, with Shannon Page and John Perros. If you like this podcast and you like anime, you should check out my podcast with Sean Gronkowski called You Better Believe This. That's found at moleholeradio.com. If you like science fiction books, you should check out the press that Sean and I started. It's called Space Boy Books, and you can find us at readspaceboy.com.